know, we're holding on Mummifest. Umud Bey is the second to last line. We've been discussing halachos of Birkas Kohanim, because that was one of the things we said at the beginning of the parak has to be said in Lashon Kodesh. So now we've been going through the dinim and agadta related to Birkas Kohanim. So the last thing we were talking about was what if we said that Birkas Kohanim has to be ponim keneged ponim. It has to be face to face. The Kohanim are facing the Tzibur, and the Tzibur is facing the people. So we discussed, what about, for example, if there's a, so they have to obviously be facing in that direction, and we said for that reason, if they're behind the Kohanim, then they're not included in the Bracha. On the other hand, we said, if there's a Mechitza in Shul, even if it's a Mechitza, Shul Barzal, an iron curtain can't separate between the Jewish people and Hashem. So now, we boil the hu, they have the question, Tzdodin Mahu. What about the sides? What about the people who are standing to the sides of the Kohanim? So we said the ones in back are not included in the bracha. What about the ones to the sides? So Omer Abba Mar Baravashi Toshma. The Tanam. Now we learn in a Mishnah in connection with sprinkling paradruma water. We have when it comes to sprinkling paradruma water, you have to have kavana. To sprinkle. It can't just be that the water dribbles on it by itself. So Mishnah says, Niskaven lahazis lefana, if a person intended to sprinkle the paradruma water in front of him, there were kalim in front of him, and he intended to sprinkle on them, v'hizal la'achrav, and instead, by mistake, he sprinkled something behind him. So even though there are kalim over there, or la'achrav, that he's a lefanav, or if he intended to sprinkle behind him, and he ended up sprinkling on things that were in front of him, haza osei psula, either way, the hazah is possible, because you have to have kavana to have kavana that you're sprinkling. You don't necessarily have to have kavana, you don't necessarily have to have kavana on the actual keli itself. But you have to have kavana about what's in front of you. There's actually a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam on the one hand versus the Raivad on the other hand. Does it mean that you have to actually have kavana on the thing itself? But the point is, at least you have to have, at the very least, according to everybody, you have to have kavana that you're sprinkling in this direction, on the kalim that are in this direction. But the Mishnah continues, Lefonov, but if he meant to sprinkle on Kalim in front of him, Vehiza al Tzdodin Shemafonov, and instead he sprinkled on Kalim that are on the sides in front of him, meaning in other words, they're not right in front of him, they're off to the side, but if you were to draw a line straight in front of him, they would be in front of that line, then the Hazah is kosher, because those are considered like Lefano. So therefore, that would answer the question, as far as the Kohenim as well, as far as Duchening, that anyone who's past that line would be fine, but anybody who's before that line would be possible. So now, that's how Rashi learns. So it comes out, in other words, according to Rashi, you actually have to be someplace on the line in front of the Kohanim or further. And if you're behind that line, even though you're right next to the Kohanim, then you wouldn't be included in the bracha. Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that says, you see from that, that people who are on the sides are included in the bracha, so it comes out, according to what Tosfos is quoting, that even if they are actually on the sides of the Kohanim, then they are included in the bracha. That's how it's brought, the Rambam brings it, the Torah brings like that, and in Shulchan Aruch it mentions it also, the Taz says at least what you should be doing if you're standing on the side, first of all, ideally you should move so that you're past the line of the front of the Kohanim, but if you can, for whatever reason, then you can be Yotze, based on Tosfos' understanding of the Gemara over here, you can be Yotze if you're standing directly to the sides of the Kohanim, but you do need to make sure to turn your face towards the Kohanim, because we learned before, Birkas Kohanim has to be Omer Lahem, it has to be like when one person is speaking to another. It can happen sometimes that you're at right angles to each other, but you're certainly not going to have that one person is facing in one direction and the other one is facing in the cardinal opposite direction. So you can't have here the Kohanim are facing towards you can't have the Kohanim are facing here towards the west of the shul, because they're standing in front of their own Kodesh, and you're going to be standing on their sides and facing towards the east. That surely won't work. So therefore, you would have to turn your face to the side, to the side that the Kohanim are on, and that way, at least, it's more Ponim connected Ponim. So again, according to Rashi, even that wouldn't work, but according to Tosfos and the Rambam and everybody else, that B'dievan would work. Now the Gemara digresses to a din in the halachas of laning, and then we're going to go back to dinim of duchanim. What is this din doing over here as far as laning? So we're going to have, actually, on our days, we're going to have a whole bunch of dinim in connection with laning. So maybe, in fact, this belongs over there. Maybe, in fact, the copyists or whatever put it over here by mistake, and it actually belongs further on. But there are different mafarshim who bring different possibilities of what it's doing over here. One of them being the Nitziv says that we're going to be talking about a halacha that once they start laning, then you're not allowed to talk. And therefore, the idea would be it's similarly during Birkas Kohanim, you're not allowed to be talking during Birkas Kohanim.
Coming back to the position of the people facing the Kohanim or on the sides, when they were receiving the brachas and the kalas between our Greek and our Aval, they were not exactly facing either way. They were in between. So how come now we're saying
they were,
that they have
they
to be facing?
Towards Hagrizim. And first of all, they were facing towards Hagrizim and saying the Barachas and facing towards Har Evel and saying the Flawless. But second of all, there it doesn't say Omer Lahem. By Birkas Kohanim, it does. The fact that you have to have be Ponim Kineged Ponim, we learn from the expression Omer Lahem, which you only have that by Birkas Kohanim.
Omer Lahem means you're going to tell them. Who says it
Omer
means
Lahem
that?
To say to them, which means that it has to be like the way one person says to another, face to face. You don't talk to the back of somebody's head. Whereas
not to the back, but it doesn't mean that you have to be right in the front.
But that's what we're saying. So we're saying if you're behind the Kohanim, then you're not included in the bracha. As far as if you're in front, if you're beyond the line. That's if you're in front of the line. That's in that the if you're in front of if you were to draw a straight line in front of the Kohanim and you're in front of that line, then you're for sure good. The question was, what about the sides? So that's the thing. Rashi learns that the question to begin with was about the sides that are not directly in front of the Kohen, and the answer was as long as you're in front of that line, you're good. Which implies that according to Rashi, if you're behind that line, you're not good, even though you're by the side of the Kohanim. According to Tosfos and the Rambam and everybody else, you are good in that case as well, as long as, as the Taz said, you're facing towards the Kohanim, because then at least that can be called Omer Lahem.
So what's the halacha?
That's the halacha. Is Blachat Chiva, you should try to be past that line. If you draw a line in front of where the Kohanim are, you should try to be past that line. But if you can't, then you can be, if you can't easily get there, the shul is crowded or whatever, then you can be by the side of the Kohanim, and you just turn your face in their direction.
And you're
behind it. And you're Yotze. But if you're behind that line, now it's not a matter of being Yotze, really. I mean, you know, to a certain extent, you know, the Sforim on mitzvahs do talk about there is a mitzvah on the Jewish people to be blessed, just as there is a mitzvah on the Kohanim to bless, but it's not really a matter of being Yotze per se. It's a matter of are you included in the bracha or not. But if you're behind the Kohanim, meaning if you draw a line, parallel to the backs of the Kohanim and you're behind that line, then for sure you're not Yotze according to everybody. All right. So anyway, so a din in Kriyas HaTorah, and again, what this is doing over here is not 100% certain, but there is the Nitziv brings up the possibility that we're going to say you can't talk during Kriyas HaTorah, and by the same token, you can't talk during Birkas Kohanim. So the Gemara says, Omer Rava Bar Rav Huna, Kivin Shenifdach Sefer Torah. Once the Sefer Torah is open, now Rashi explained that the word opened over here means opening, as in beginning to lane. But we'll talk in a second. There are different opinions about that. Anyway, also, let's sapper, the tzibur is not allowed to talk. Afilu b'dvar halacha, they're not even allowed to talk in matters of halacha. Shenema, uchifischa, in the Gemara it says over here, uvifischa, actually, the days, the pasuk actually says, uchifischa, when he opened, omdu kola'am, all the people omdu. Now, omdu, on the face of it, means they stood, but the Gemara is going to explain that it means that they were quiet. This is talking about, in Sefer Ezra, you have Ezra in later times was divided into two books called Ezra and Nehemiah, but really they're one book of Tanakh. So in the Nehemiah portion, it describes how at one point, shortly after the Jewish people had come back to Eretz Yisrael in the second Beis Hamikdash, they gathered Ezra and Nehemiah and the Levim gathered them together to hear the Torah laying, and it describes how Ezra laying from the Torah in public over there on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And it describes over there, Uchofiskoi Omdu Kola'am, when he opened, then all the people Omdu, which the Gemara is going to say means they were quiet. So now, again, Rashi understands that it means when he began. There are other Rishonim who understand, the Rambam writes that the Rambam uses a similar expression. He also says once he starts laning. But the Magen Avraham points out that actually the word kapischoi can actually mean literally when he opened the Sefer Torah. So that would imply that as soon as the Sefer Torah is opened, then already you're not allowed to talk. And he brings from the Yerushalmi that it's so that being the case then, so you'd have a machlokas aposkim in short, whether you're allowed to talk once the Sefer Torah was opened before the Baal Korah actually starts laning, or you're also only from when he starts laning. Anyway, the Gemara says, the Ein Amida Elosh Sika. The word Amida over here, the word Uchafischoi Omdu Cholo'am, doesn't mean that it means that they were quiet. Shenemar, as we find the Pasuk in Eov, you have Eov's friends are debating with him, he's complaining about all his tzaris, and they're giving him different speeches to explain, and eventually they give up trying to argue with him because they realize they're not getting anywhere with him, and so then Elihu starts speaking up, and he gives us a couple of speeches of his own, and he says, he says, I was waiting until they're not speaking. Ki omdu, when they stopped, v'le onu oid, and they're not answering anymore. And then I realize now I have to take things up and I have to speak. So we see that the word omdu over there means to speak. So the same way, by omdu chola, the word omdu rather means to stop speaking, to be quiet. So the same way we see by the people, by Ezra's laning, also means that they were quiet and they didn't say anything. With that said, there are poskim who say, now, the fact is, the word omdu does have the simple meaning as well, to stand, and that would mean that you'd be required to stand during Kriyas HaTorah. So there are people who are careful about that. The poskim do talk about that point, that there is an inyan to stand by Kriyas HaTorah. I see it here all the time in Shul, actually. Rabbi Ozuba always stands for the laning. So technically, it's not required. Al pi halacha, in the end, but there is definitely that inyan. Anyway, what we're saying over here is you can't talk during Kriyas HaTorah. Tosfos points out that there's a Gemara in Brachos where we see, it says over there that during the laning, Rav Sheshes would turn in a different direction and learn. Because he would say, look, you know, they're doing their thing, I'm doing my thing. So how does that fit with over here that you're not allowed to talk with Dvar Halacha? So Tosfos gives a few answers. One is that he was turning in a different direction. That would make it mutter. Another one is Rav Sheshes was blind, so he anyway can't learn Torah Shebichsav. So therefore, he's entitled at that point to learn Torah Shebapeh. And a third answer is that he's Torosso Yom Nosso. You can't apply that to anybody else. The final halacha is basically like that last answer. So therefore, only somebody who's Todosu Umnosu would be able to be learning something else to increase a Torah. As far as laning, there's the question also brought in Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to do Shnayim Mikrovech and Targum during Kriyas HaTorah. After all, that is the same thing as they're doing. They're laning the parasha, and you're also reading the parasha to yourself. So that you have different opinions about in Shulchan Aruch. But in practice, it says it's really best not to do that either. Just to be quiet and listen to the Baal Korah. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Rav Zera, Omer Rav Chista Mehocha. Rav Zera says in the name of Rav Chista. You have another source for that because the same pasuk, and there's a few psukim later in connection with Ezra's laning, it says, or actually a few psukim earlier or whatever, it says, V'ozne chol ha'om al sefer ha'torah, the ears of all the people were towards the sefer Torah, implying, of course, that they're listening carefully and not talking. So we see that you're not allowed to talk even in Dvar Halacha during laning. Okay. Now, getting back to Dinim of Birkas Kohenim, the Omer of Yishuv and Levi, Kol Kohen shall I not al Yodav, any Kohen who didn't wash his hands before going up to Duchen, lo Yisar es Kakav, should not Duchen, should not do Birkas Kohenim. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Su'u Yedechem Kodesh, Uvorchu es Hashem, lift up your hands in holiness and bless Hashem. So implying, in other words, when you're lifting up your hands, that, then you have to have your hands have to be kodesh, your hands have to be holy, which means that you have to wash them. Now Rashi uses the expression lefnei aloisir leduchan before going up to the duchan, which implies that really right before. Tosfos brings, on the other hand, from Rashi that not necessarily. If a person washed his hands in the morning and he knows there's still tahor, then he wouldn't actually need to wash again. Then they wouldn't need to actually wash again before duchening. And Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of that and says maybe not necessarily. The fact is, there are gemaras elsewhere that talk about the idea of takeif l'matilas yadayim bracha as soon as possible after matilas yadayim should be the bracha. To a certain extent, that refers to washing for bread and also to mayim achronim. But to a certain extent, it also applies to the washing before Birkas Kohenim, and therefore it should be as soon as possible before Birkas Kohenim. Tosfos mentions in this connection, by the way, which is Negeya, as far as washing for bread, that the amount of time that would be considered takeif is no more than the time it takes to walk 22 amos, because another one of those takeifs that we find in Gemara is takeif l'smicha shchita, as soon as possible after the smicha on the end, the head of an animal for a korban, should be the shchita, and between the sometimes you have people, we learned in the Masechta Nazir, for example, that certain people who are bringing korbanos stand in Shaar Nikaner, but then the shchita takes place closer to the Mizbeach, 22 amos away, so we see that distance can still be considered takeif, but not necessarily more than that. So it comes out, based on what Tosfos is saying, that even if the Kohen washed his hands in the morning, he still should wash them before duchening. Here also, the Rambam holds like Rashi in that regard and says that once he washed in the morning, if he knows his hands are still clean, he doesn't have to wash them again. Nevertheless, in Shulchan Aruch, it says more like Tosfos, you should wash them again before duchening, unless you're in a situation where you can't or whatever, and then you can be soymech on the washing in the morning. Even, by the way, even on Yom Kippur, even though normally you're not allowed to wash, but Yom Kippur is an exception, and the Kohen wash their full hands on Yom Kippur before duchening. More on Birkas Kohenim. Now let's talk about the bracha of Birkas Kohenim. The Gemara says, Shalu Talmidim as Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua, Bameheh Erach Deyom. Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua's Talmidim asked him, with what zchus did you live long? There's a medrash that says that he lived to be 105 years old, and he was actually one of the Asara Arugim Malchus, so conceivably he might have even lived longer. But anyway, so in what zchus did you live so long? Although there is a different explanation that says that they're asking him what specific midah throughout your life were you always careful with. So Omalahani tells them a few things. First of all, throughout my life, I never made the shul a shortcut. Now you could. You have a shul has more than one door. You could conceivably go in from one side and then go out from the other. He was always careful not to do that. Now, la halacha, you're not allowed to do that. Obviously, he's not going to tell them that he followed black letter halacha. So the explanation is, in other words, there are cases where al pi halacha, a person would be allowed to do that. For example, if he went into the shul in order to daven or whatever, then he's allowed to, or even just to say a pasuk. You have, in principle, al pi halacha, if you have a situation where you need to go into a shul for whatever reason, where it has nothing to do with davening or laning, for example, to call somebody or whatever, you say a posuk in there, so that might make it more legitimate to use it as a kapandaria. Another example would be if there was already a shortcut there through that place before the shul was ever built. Nevertheless, even in those cases, Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua was careful not to do that. Mausha says somewhat differently that you have the strict halacha about that is only in the Bais Mikdash. Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua was careful about that also in a shul. Anyway, that was the first one. The second one, he says, "V'lo pasayti al roshei am kodesh." I never stepped over the heads of the holy people. Meaning, you can have the people in those days in the Bais Mikdash sat on the floor or on low benches or whatever. Sometimes you might have a person is late coming in and he has to step over them. If you think of like people stepping over on the tops of the benches on 770 to get to their places, So you're not supposed to do that. It shows disrespect for the people. So he was always careful about that. Again, it does say in Gemara and Yevamos and in other places that you're really not allowed to do that to begin with, but you have cases, again, we learned in Yevamos that there are cases where you're allowed to, for example, if Rabin Srichim Loi, if you're a person that the Rabin need you to be there in the Mismedrash, because, for example, you know a lot and people are always turning to you with questions. Nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua was careful about that as well. And the third one, he says, "V'loy nasasi kapai v'loy bracha." I never did nasias kapayim. I never duchen without a bracha. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua was a kohen, so I never duchen without a bracha. Now, what's the chiddush on the face of it? Of course, you have to make a bracha before it. So there are a large number of explanations among Rishonim and Achronim what exactly Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua's chiddush is with that. So in fact, there are Mefoshim who explain that Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua himself was misakin this bracha, that before his time, maybe it wasn't necessarily, they didn't necessarily say a bracha before Birkas Kohanim, and the Svara may have been, Birkas Kohanim itself is a bracha, it doesn't require a bracha before it. But then the idea would be, according to one explanation, is that the Turei Evan says that in fact he was the one who made the takana to make this bracha, so therefore he's highlighting that. And then there's a lot of other explanations. The Ritva says that actually that's itself what he's informing us. Of course you say the bracha, but you should be aware that the Kohen who says this bracha before he duchens is going to be marich yamim for that schus alone. He deserves to live long. And there's different other points. Marsha makes a point over here that, after all, the whole point of Birkas Kohanim, we said, is really Hashem then comes and benches the Jewish people. So therefore, you have to ask, why are you even doing Birkas Kohanim? On the face of it, Hashem could just bench us directly. Nonetheless, the fact is it is a mitzvah in the Torah, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua recognized the importance of it, and that it deserves a bracha, and therefore he was zoicha to Arichus Yom. And then there are various other different explanations of what Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua's chiddush is. Rav Moshe gives an explanation, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that even when Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua was chazen, and he himself would be duchening, like we talked about yesterday, where in principle, if the Kohen is chazen, he can duchen as long as he's not going to get confused where he is in Shemoneh Esrei, he would also be careful to make the bracha over there. So we see that there's a bracha to be said. There's also, there are Rishonim, I think Meiri says, we're not even talking about the bracha, Asher Kudushanim B'Kudushas Rishon Aaron, rather we're talking about the other brachas and tefillos that the Kohen says before and after Duchening, as the Gemara is going to say soon. Anyway, my Mavarich, what is the bracha before Birkas Kohenim? Amr Abzeira, Amr Abchista, the bracha is Asher Kudushanu B'Kudushas Rishon Aaron, that Hashem made us holy with the Kedusha of Aaron. In general, by the way, whenever a Kohen makes a bracha, on a mitzvah that is specific to Kohenim, he says that nusa. For example, in the time of the Beis Mikdash, when they ate Kobanis, and this is how it'll be very soon, when the third Beis Mikdash is built, B'mheir of Yemenu Amen, that the Kohenim would say a bracha before they eat their portions of the Kobanis, Asher Kedushanim, B'kedushas Rishon Aaron, B'tzivanu, and gave us the mitzvah to eat such and such a korban, and similarly with other things. Anyway, so Asher Kedushanim, B'kedushas Rishon Aaron, B'tzivanu, L'vorech Hisame Yisrael Ba'ava, and he commanded us to bless the Jewish people with love. There's a lot of interesting explanations why we have to mention this point with love. After all, the Torah specifically doesn't specifically mention the point about benching them with love. There is, the Zohar makes a point very strongly that the Kohen has to love the Tzibur and vice versa. And if not, the Zohar says if there's a sinner, if there's a hatred between them, then it's actually dangerous for the Kohen to do Birkas Kohenim. So that relates to the, what? Not Kohen Shoita, we're not talking about. We're talking about a Kohen who for whatever reason, is not getting along with the people, and there's a sinner between him and them, then the Zohar says it's dangerous for him to do Birkas Kohenim. So that's one meaning of Ba'ava. But where we get it from, there's different interesting explanations. One very interesting explanation that's brought from a Makubal named Moshe David Bali, is one of the Rebbeim of the Ramchal. He says a remez in it, In Italian and also in Latin and a number of other related languages, the word Omer means love. So therefore, the Torah is hinting. When it says Omer Lahem, it's hinting that it has to be with love. So that's the bracha. Ki oka kare mai Omer. Next, what does the Kohen say when he's moving his feet? We learned yesterday that the Kohen has to begin moving from his place sometime during the bracha of Ritzei to come up to the Duchen. So after he moved his feet, So after he moved his feet, that could mean, Rashi explains, once he's already standing in front of the Aron, with his face towards the Aron, during Modim, so what is he saying? The Rambam explains that it means we're talking about when he's on his way, walking up to the Duchen, the Shulchan Aruch had passed him like Rashi. So therefore, we're talking about what he says when he's standing over there, when the Kohenim are standing over there in front of the Aron, on the Duchen, before Birkas Kohenim, what does he say? So he says, standing on the platform in front of the Aron, or just on the floor in front of the Aron, ready for Birkas Kohenim, but they haven't turned around to face the Tzibur yet. They're still facing the Aron. So he says, Yehirotin Mofanach Hashem Alakenu, Shetehe Brocha Zusha Tzivisonu Lavarachas Amcha Yisrael, that this Brocha that you commanded us to bless your people Yisrael, Lo Yehe Bamichshov Oven, there shouldn't be any stumbling or any Aveva in it. The stumbling would include, for example, that there should be an Ava between him and the Jewish people. It includes, for example, that the Brocha of Birchas Koyim and Yivarechacha Hashem Yishmerecha include the Brocha of wealth. So it means that that wealth should be for good purposes rather than for stumbling. And there's a few other explanations. The Rambam's Nusach of the Bracha, and this is how it's also brought in the Siddur, has a few extra words. There's a few extra phrases, but it amounts to the same thing. Next, v'chimahader apem mitzibur emai omar. What does the Kohen say after he's turned away from the Tzibur? So he finished the three brachas of Birkas Kohenim. Now he turns back to face towards the Aron and stays there until the end of Sim Shalom. So what is he saying during that time? So the Gemara says, Adberei Rav Chista, Rav Ukva v'Dorash. Rav Chista Adberei to Rav Ukva, and he Darshan. There's several different explanations of what Adberei means. Rashi elsewhere explains that it means he took him for a walk, and during the walk, he explained to him this din. Rabbeinu Hanan all over there in that same Gemara in Beitza, says that it means that he prompted him, he coached him to say this Tzibur. So he taught him this halacha and coached him how to say it Tzibur. And there's a few other explanations that maybe it means when Rav Ukva was a Reish Kabusa, maybe it means when Rav Ukva first took over the position of Reish Kabusa, then Rav Chista gave this as a drosha at his installation or something. Whatever, anyway. So he doushed him like this. What the Kohenim say at that point is Ribbono Shel Olam, Asinu Masha Gazauta Aleinu. We have done what you decreed on us. Now, why are we calling it that Hashem decreed it on us? So one point is, again, because we said, really, what's the reason behind Birkas Kohenim anyway? Again, according to Rabbi Akiva, as we talked about yesterday, Hashem himself benches the Jewish people anyhow. V'ani Avorachem, Rabbi Akiva learns, means that Hashem benches us through the Kohenim. So why does he need the Kohenim for? He could just bench us directly. So therefore, that would be one reason to call it a Gzeira. Another point, the Or Sameach makes a point. The Kohenim, by Duchening, are standing with their backs towards the Aron Kodesh. That's not usually a very respectable thing to do. So they're saying, we have no choice, Hashem, you were gozer on us to do it that way. Anyway, so we continue, they continue, Asei Manu Mashe Kachtanu, so you do with us what you promised us, that you'll agree with our bracha, that as the pasuk says, Ashkifam Kodesh, Hashemayim, we're going to look down from your holy residence, from Shemayim, and then bless your people, Yisrael. And that's we have that in the Siddur, and the Kohenim say that at that point after doing it. So, by the way, the Gemara elsewhere mentions they're not allowed to say that out loud, because that would be Mosif ala brachas. That would be an example of lo se sifu. You're not allowed to add to the mitzvahs of the Torah. The Torah says, koi savorchu, bench them with these exact three brachas, no more. But here, where they're just saying it quietly to themselves, then that's fine. And they're not facing the tzibur, and they don't have their hands up and so forth, and it's fine. It's obviously not part of Birkas Kohenim, and therefore it's fine. Yeah, right. Okay. More dinim about Birkas Kohenim. Omer of Chista, Eina Kohenim Rashoim Lok of Kishre, it's by saying, Adshiyasu Pneim and Atzibur. The Kohenim are not allowed to unbend, to bend their fingers. But like this, you know, you have the Kohenim doing Duchening, they have their fingers, they have their hands raised up, like we said before, that's why it's called Nesias Kapayim. You have a special configuration that they put their fingers in, with spaces between them, based off the Kabbalah. So they're not allowed to bend their fingers, Achiyachsu, Pneim and Atzibur, until they turn around from the Tzibur, back towards the Aron. Which is when the Chazan begins Sim Shalom. So, and the idea is it's not covered for the tzibur to. Another din, omer of zera, omer of chista, ein hakore rashoi likris koinim ad sheyichlo omer mepia tzibur. The kore, the chazen, is not allowed to call out koinim until the tzibur has finished answering omer. So you have, they answered omer to moedim, and if now he calls out koinim while they're saying omer, then nobody's going to hear what he's saying. The eight akoyanim rashoyim lahaskel bebracha ad sheyich ledibum piakore, and the koyanim are not allowed to begin their koyanim until are not allowed to begin their bracha until the bracha until the word ends from the kore. Now that can mean now what do we mean? I mean the koyanim say word by word as the so it means, in other words, so first of all, nowadays we have the chazan says word by word for the koyanim, and they repeat after him. So they're not allowed to start any word until he finished the word that he's prompting them. He says yivarachcha, and only when he's finished do they start yivarachcha, and so forth with all the others. It also means, in other words, that they can't start the bracha asher kudushanim b'shalsa shalharon until he's finished saying koyanim. The einat tzibur ashoin lanas omen achetichla bracha mipi akoyanim. The tzibur is not allowed to say omen for birkas koyanim by the bracha asher kudushanu and also by the three pesukim of birkas koyanim achetichla bracha mipi akoyanim until the koyanim finish saying the bracha. In fact, in general, you have that by brachas. In general, you're not allowed to say a bracha until the entire words of the bracha are finished. You do have, by the way, sometimes you have chazanim that at the end of a word, especially on Yom Tov davening or whatever, they extend out the word very long, and that can be a problem. People don't realize, and they say amen prematurely. So you have to be careful about that. The ein akoyanim rashoyim lahaskel the bracha acheres ad sheyichlo amen piatzibur. The koyanim are not allowed to begin the next bracha until the tzibur finishes saying amen. Now here you have the question: what do we mean? What's the bracha acheres? On the face of it, so if we're talking about after the tzibur answers amen to the bracha asher kudushanim b'shoshes shalaron, then the chazan after anyway wait for the chazan to say yivarecha. Well, the Rambam actually paskins, and this is how in Sfarish Akehilos they do it. Adar yemazeh, the chazan does not prompt them with the first word yivarecha. Right after they say the bracha asher kudushanu, and everybody answers amen, right after that the koyanim themselves begin with the word yivarachcha, because the Rambam learns the reason why the chazan has to prompt them word by word is in case they get mixed up. Well, yivarachcha being the first word, they're not going to get mixed up. Therefore, they don't need the chazan to prompt them. So according to the Rambam, the Gemara would be saying over here that the koyanim are not allowed to begin the word yivarachcha until the tzibur is finished answering amen. If we say that we're talking about, if we say not like that, and the chazan prompts them with every word, including yivarechacha, then the bracha acheres would be that they're not allowed, would be, for example, that they can't begin the Ribbono Shel Olam Asinu Masha Gazarta Aleinu until the tzibur is finished answering amen. Tosfos discusses over here, now you have, normally the halacha is, when it comes to answering amen, you don't have to wait for every single person to finish answering amen. For example, you have a Gemara in Brachos that talks about that when a person is making hamotzi and everybody answers amen, and then he starts slicing the bread, he's allowed to start once most of the people have finished answering amen. Because after all, there are dinim. You're not supposed to say amen too quickly, but you're also not supposed to extend it out too long. So when you have some of the people are still answering amen, then they're anyway doing that wrongly, and therefore you don't have to do that. Here, Tosfos says not necessarily. Because here you have a different consideration, which is the concept called Trei Koli Loi Mishtami, two voices can't be heard. So if you have, if the tzibur is saying Amen, and the chazan is saying, and the chazan is saying Yivarechacha, or whatever, or any of the different things that we said over here in the Gemara's choreography, then you're going to have, they're not going to be able to hear. And that leads Tosfos into a discussion, and so on the face of it, how do we hear Birkas Koyanim? Anyway, you have a bunch of Koyanim saying all together, and one answer is that the Tosfos gives a few different possibilities, but one of them is when a bunch of people are saying the same thing, then you're able to hear it. But when you have different people are saying different things, then they're going to conflict. So here, all the koyanim together are saying yivarecha, all of them together are saying Hashem, and so forth. So therefore, that's fine. But if you have, for example, the tzibur is saying amen while the chazan is saying koyanim, or the tzibur or the chazan is saying yivarecha, and meanwhile the koyanim start saying it or whatever, then there's going to be confusion and you're not going to hear them clearly. Okay, so that's how it is. So everyone has to wait for the previous one, in short. Another din of Birkas Koyanim. The Omer of Zera, Omer of Chista, Eina koinim rashoin lahachzu pneim natzibur ad shiyaskol shliach tzibur b'sim shalim. The koinim are not allowed to turn their faces away from the tzibur until the chazan begins sim shalim. Now Rashi says it doesn't even have to be actually that he begins sim shalim. It really means once the chazan is ready to begin sim shalom, meaning that everybody answered amen to Hatov Shimchol, that everybody answered amen to the last bracha of the Kohenim. So they finished the Yosem L'chol Shalom, and everybody answered amen to that. And now, even if the Chazan, for whatever reason, hasn't begun sim shalom, Rashi learns that nevertheless, at that point, the Kohenim can already turn around. The Maharshal points out that that's evidently how Rashi understands the Gemara, is it doesn't mean that he has to actually say the word Sim Shalom, just means that he's ready to begin Sim Shalom. So the Kohenim say one Nusach, and we say a different Nusach, but that's something else. We say that during Sim Shalom. Reb Zera continues, Ve'ein Rashoim Laker, Adleim V'Leilach, they're not allowed to move their feet and actually walk away from there, Ad Sheyigmur Shliach Tzibur Sim Shalom, until the Chazan finishes Sim Shalom. So here Rashi takes the time to give us the practical halacha, the practical order of Birkas Kohanim. More or less what Rashi says over here is also, Tosfos brings it on Amud Aleph and discusses it a little bit, and then more or less what Rashi is saying is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. So you have like this, the Kohen moves from his place during Ritzei and comes in front of the Aron. While he's there in front of the Aron, he says the Yehi Ratzon that we said before. He extends out the Yehi Ratzon so that when everybody answers Amen to the Chazan's Bracha Modim, to the Chazan's Bracha Atov Shemchol V'chol Na'alodes, at the same time they're saying Amen to his Yehi Ratzon, then if you have two or more Kohenim, then the Chazan calls Kohenim. We talked about yesterday, Rabbi Natam holds that the Chazan should not be calling Kohenim because he says it's a Hefsik, but everybody else disagrees with him. Lamai said that the almost universal Minag is that the Chazan says of the Kohenim of the Kavasenu and then says Kohenim out loud, but again, only if there are two or more Kohenim. Then the Kohenim turn around, And they start saying the bracha asher kedushanu. In Shulchan Aruch, actually, it mentions there are different opinions. Should they be saying the bracha asher kedushanu while they're facing the Aron or while they're facing the Tzibur? So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings actually that what you should do is they do both. They start saying the bracha while they're facing the Aron, and as they're in the middle of saying the bracha, they turn around, and that way they're yotze both days. Then Rashi continues. They say the brachas. After that, after everybody says amen into the last thing to shalom, then they turn around. They can bend their fingers if they want. But the chazan begins sim shalom. While he's saying sim shalom, the kohenim say the rebbeinu shalom. Again, they take their time with it until the chazan finishes a brachas amen yisrael shalom, and they answer. Everybody answers amen. That way, the amen is covering his bracha of sim shalom as well as their rebbeinu shalom. And then they're done. So that's the order of Birkas Kohenim in a nutshell. One thing, by the way, Tosfos mentions as a side point is Tosfos also brings this up in a few other places in Shas. If a Kohen worshipped Avodah Zarah, is he ever allowed to duchen again? So first Tosfos says that no. There's a Gemara in Brachas that says that if a Kohen killed somebody, he's never allowed to duchen again. And all the more so if he worshipped Avodah Zarah or converted to another religion, Chas V'Shalom, then certainly not. On the other hand, Tosfos says, Rabbi Negershim says that no. As long as he did Tshuva, he could. He could also get the first Aliyah to the Torah, because once he did Tshuva, he returns to his Kedusha. This is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. So in Shulchan Aruch, it says that if a Kohen converted to another religion, even Islam, which is not Avodah Zarah, then he's not allowed to duchen or to get the first Aliyah to the Torah until he does Tshuva. Once he does Tshuva, then yes, we accept him as a full-fledged Kohen, and he can go back to getting the first Aliyah and the Duchen. The Chalal and Shulchan Aruch mentions a point that, there are a few Averis that disqualify a Kohen from Birkas Kohen, and one of them, Taka, is if you kill the person based on that Gemara, but, other than that, it says in Shulchan Aruch, but if you kill the Goy, I don't know, the expression is Shahorah, because a Nefesh, Lachorah, includes a Goy as well, but I don't know. Anyway, In Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that other than that, though, most Averas don't pass on the Koyim from Birkas Koyim. Now, you, the Yisroel, have to think, what? I mean, this Yosha is going to give me a bracha. What is it helping? The fact is, you've got to realize the bracha is coming through Hashem, is coming from Hashem, through the Koyim, and he's the one who empowered them, and therefore, don't you be worrying about his Averas. He still has the power to give you brachas that the Eved Shem empowered him. Now we're basically done with halachas. Now we're not really. We're going to continue further down the Amud with halachas of Birkas Koyanim, but now the Gemara is going to digress to some more halachas of laning. Because there you have a similarity, the same way as we're saying that Chazan can't begin a certain word until the Tzibur has finished saying Amen, and the Koyanim can't begin a certain word until the Chazan has finished saying, and so on and so forth. You have a similar kind of thing as far as Kriyas Aferah. So for Amud of Zera, Amud of Chista, Einat Tzibur Rashoyin, Lanis Omen Achatichla Bracham and Piakore. The Tzibur can't answer Omen until the Kore has finished saying the Bracha. You have to remember, back then they didn't have the concept of the Baal Kore. Everybody laying their own Aliyah. So the Kore himself would be the one saying the Bracha, and then he'd be laying, so you're not allowed to say Omen until he finished. Here also, Tosfos is saying, even though normally we would say you only have to wait until most people finish the bracha, that means finish saying Amen, because anybody who says Amen too long is making a mistake anyway. Here you have to because of the issue of Tirei Koli Loi Mishtami, because otherwise people are not going to hear clearly. The Minhag is in fact, the Baal Kurda does the Amen very loud, Amen, and that gets everybody's attention to tell them to be quiet, because we don't know what Aleph, they have to be quiet, and that he's ready to start laying. So that's one din. Also, the Einat Kurda Rashoy Likris Vatur. So I skipped the line of you. Einat Sibur Rashoy Lanis Omen Achtichla Bracha Mepiak Kurda. The Sibur can't answer Omen until the Kurda finishes the Bracha. The Einat Kurda Rashoy Likris Vatur Achtichla Omen Piak Sibur. The Kurda can't start laning until the Sibur has finished saying Omen. The Einat Matargum Rashoy Lahaskal Matargum Achtichla Possum Piak Kurda. The Matargum, back then, when they would translate the Kurda Possum, by Pasuk, you'd have somebody standing over there and reading, and then not reading because he had to do it Baal Peh, but he would be saying Targum Onkelos for the people, so the Hamoinam could understand, because they didn't understand Moshe Kodesh. Ada Yemazeh, you have this, they do it in some Yemenite shuls. Anyway, the Targum is not allowed to start the Targum of Pasuk, actually you call Pasuk the Piyah Kodesh until the Kodesh has finished the Pasuk that he's going to translate. Then a Kodesh, Ashoy Lahasa, the Pasuk Acha, actually you call Targum, Piyah Targum, and the Kodesh is not allowed to begin the next Pasuk until the Targum has finished saying the Targum of that Pasuk. So again, they also wait on each other, basically. Nowadays, by the way, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. We don't do the Targum, because practically speaking, people don't know Aramaic anyhow. So doing the Targum wouldn't do any good, as far as we can't just do a translation into a different language, because only the Targum in Aramaic, it was done with Ruach HaKodesh, and it was given Lamosha Sinai, and Aramaic itself is a language that has a certain degree of Kedusha. Only that is Rory to be used in the Tzibur, not any other one. With that said, over a thousand years ago, Rav Sadia Gaon translated the Torah into Arabic, because in those times, that was most Jews in the world spoke that, and there are Yemenite communities where they use his Targum instead of, or in addition to Targum Onkelos, and they translate the Torah that way, Pasuk by Pasuk, in the Tzibur. Okay. More dinim about Kriyas HaTorah, Omer Ab Tanchum, Omer Ab Shimon Levi, Hamafter Banovi Tzorach Sheyikra V'Torah Tchila. The person who's reading that Torah has to first read from the Torah, because of the covenant of the Torah to show that people shouldn't think that Novi is on equal level with Torah. So the way it's explained in the Shulchan Aruch, the way the Alter Rebbe explains it, the original way they used to do it is that the sixth aliyah, where the way it used to work is that you would have the seventh aliyah would end a few psukim before the end of the parasha, then the eighth oila, the master, would lane those few psukim, and then after that, the haftarah. Eventually, though, in the times of the Rabbon and Sivaroi, they made the takona to say kaddish between the first seven oilim and the eighth one, so people realized that there were supposed to be seven oilim, not eight. So then at that point now that Kaddish breaks things up. Now you can't say anymore. You should leave some of the parasha unlaned for the master. Instead, what you have is you repeat the last few psukim of the parasha. The master is not allowed to start saying the haftarah until the sefer Torah is wrapped up. So Rashi says the reason is because you don't want the people who are wrapping the Sefer Torah are going to be too busy to hear that Torah. They're going to be too busy wrapping up the Sefer Torah, and they're going to be distracted. The Me'iri gives a different reason, which is that this way they shouldn't be so interested in listening to that Torah that they're going to forget to finish wrapping up the Sefer Torah. A nafkamina between that would be, do you have to wait until the Sefer Torah is completely wrapped up, or is it enough that you wait until they begin? According to the Me'iri, that might be enough. Once they begin, we don't think they're going to interrupt it in the middle, whereas according to Rashi, we would have to wait until they end. That's how we do it in practice. The Omer of Tanchum Omer of Shimon Levi. The shliach tzibur is not allowed to undress the teva b'tzibur mipnei kvod tzibur because of the kavod of the tzibur. So Rashi explains like this. In those times, they didn't always keep the Sefer Torah in the shul. They would often keep it in a house near the shul, and they would bring it to shul for the laying. Now, when they brought it to shul, then when they put it down on the bima, they would decorate around the bima, they'd put fancy cloths or whatever in honor of the Sefer Torah. So now they'd lain. Now they're taking out the Sefer Torah to take it back to where they keep it. The chazan should not go and undress and take all those fancy cloths and whatever off the bima in front of the tzibur, because as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, they have to wait there until the Sefer Torah is taken out. So then it would be a tircha de tzibura to make them wait until he also undresses the bima. So therefore, what he should do is take the Sefer Torah to that other house, and then people can leave. People can finish davening and leave. And then he comes back by himself and takes off these cloths from the table. So that's lahaf shit as a table. Next, the Omer of Tan from Omer of Shimon Levi, Einat Sibur Ashoin Lotis Abshi Notel Sefer Torah the Aniach B'Mekoymen. The Sibur is not allowed to leave the shul until the Sefer Torah is taken and placed where it's supposed to go. So again, in other words, if they're carrying it out of the shul, it would actually have to be. They'd have to wait until it's actually placed where it belongs, and then could they leave the shul. Shmuel, on the other hand, Shmuel disagrees, and he says, Ad she yetze. They just have to wait until the Sefer Torah is taken out of the shul. But as soon as it's taken out, then they'd be allowed to leave. But also, what Shmuel means is that Reb Tanchum was saying that only when it's taken out of the Oren is everybody allowed to leave. But Shmuel would say even once the Oren was open, but even before they took out the Sefer Torah, then you wouldn't be allowed to leave. And the Gemara says, there's actually no argument between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Shmuel. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is talking about where the shul has another door. So you have this one door where they're going to be taking out the Sefer Torah from, but people are allowed to go out out another door. It's not considered a bizoyan to the Torah because they're not walking out of the door ahead of the Sefer Torah. Whereas Shmuel is talking about there's only one door, so then it would be disrespectful to go out in front of the Sefer Torah. That's how Rashi learns the distinction. And then there are other explanations among the Rishonim about the details over here that it means as long as the Sefer Torah is in the shul versus when it's being put back in the Aron, etc. So basically though, but you have that as long as the Sefer Torah is there, then it's disrespectful to leave. Omar Rava. So Rava says, Bar Ahina Azbrali, Bar Ahina, the name of a Chacham, explain to me, because the Pasuk says, Achre Hashem Alekechem Telechu, you should follow Hashem, which implies the Sefer Torah, which is the covenant of Hashem, you should be following it rather than walking in front of it. So therefore, it would be disrespectful to leave the shul through that very same door that you're going to take the Sefer Torah out of, ahead of the Sefer Torah. So instead, you let the whoever's carrying the Sefer Torah go out first, and only then you'll leave after them. Okay. Getting now back to Birchas Kohanim. Bizman sha'koinim mevorchen asa'om mahin oimim. When the Kohanim are benching the people, when they're saying Birchas Kohanim, what do the people say? Now the point is, Rashi says, you want, on the face of it, the people should be saying something to show that they appreciate that Hashem has given them these brachas, so therefore they should be saying some psukim to reciprocate. They shouldn't just be standing there quietly. So what psukim should they be saying? So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Zeira, Omer Rav Chista, they say the following psukim from Tillim. Boruch Hashem Malachim Giborei Chayach B'Gomer, bless Hashem, you Malachim, You Hashem is Malachim, the mighty, powerful ones. Bless Hashem. Then the pasuk after that, Baruch Hashem Kol Tzvav Meshoros of Oser Etzone. Bless Hashem, all of his armies, his servants who do what he wants, who do his will. And the third pasuk, Baruch Hashem Kol Maase B'chol Mekom Yisrael Shalte, Baruch Nafshis Hashem. All of Hashem's works in every place where Hashem rules, all of you bless Hashem, and you finish off Baruch Nafshis Hashem, my soul bless Hashem. So those are three psukim of saying to bless Hashem. So those correspond to the three psukim of Birchas Kohanim. So Reb Zera is saying that you should be saying those during Birchas Kohanim. What about, that's by Shachris, the Musfid Shabbos of Mahinim. What about by Musaf of Shabbos, where Rashi explains that you have, it's a new duchening that you don't have on weekdays. Remember, this is, we're talking about back when they duchen every day, and on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they were duchen multiple times a day, which you have, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, and most Kehillos in Eretz Yisrael, and Sfardim and Chutz La'aretz do this Adei Yemazeh, whereas we Ashkenazim do it only once a day and only on Yom Tov. But so now, Musaf of Shabbos, in other words, is a new duchening that you don't have on weekdays. Therefore, you should have to say different psukim than you do on weekdays. So what psukim do you say then? So Mahin Ermim, Amar Rav Asi, you say the psukim Shira Malas in a Baruch Vos Hashem Kol Avdei Hashem Vemer, bless Hashem, all you servants of Hashem. And the next pasuk, Sur Yudeichem Kodesh Baruch Vos Hashem, lift up your hands in holiness and bless Hashem. And then you skip to the end of the next capital and say Baruch Hashem Mitzion Shechin Yerushalayim Haluka, blessed is Hashem from Zion, who dwells in Yerushalayim, praise Hashem. So the Gemara asks, why are we skipping? What?
We don't say these.
We'll talk about soon in the Gemara whether we say such psukim or not. But wait. So the Gemara asks, why are we skipping like this? The first two psukim, Shira Malas and Suri Dechon Kurdish are from Kapitol Kuflam and Dalit. Why are we skipping to the end of Kapitol Kuflam and Hey? The Lema Nami, why don't we say the third pasuk of Kapitol Kuflam and Dalit? Yivarach Hashem Mitzian, Dichti Bahu Yonah. It says right there in that Kapitol. The answer is Amar Yehuda Breidit of Shimon Pazi Mitoch Shehischo BeBechoisim Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, because you already began the first two psukim of brachas to Hashem. Hine Baruch Hu Hashem, Baruch Hu Hashem. Therefore Mesayim BeBechoisim Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, we want to end off with a bracha of Hashem, whereas Yivarech Hashem Mitzia Neis Hashem Earth is a bracha to the people. So once you began with the two bracha, the two psukim of bracha to Hashem, then you want to continue with the third pasuk of bracha to Hashem. Okay, the minchas of the Tanisa Mai Amri. What do they say when they duchen by mincha on fast days? Now, normally the Kohenim never duchen by mincha because the Gemara explains in Megillah, when people eat lunch, they may well drink wine with it, and once a Kohen has drunk wine, he's possible to do Birchas Kohenim until the wine dissipates, so therefore we don't want people duchening by mincha. However, by Tainis, in principle, you could, because people are fasting anyway. With that said, Tosfos says, the Gemara in Tainis says over there, the fact is, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that on a Tainis tzibur, we don't duchen by mincha, because it's true that people aren't drinking that day, but nevertheless, people may confuse it with mincha of a regular day. They may think if we duchen by mincha of a Tainis, we should duchen by mincha of a different day as well, and that would be a problem, because the Kohenim are going to be drunk. So we say Avakenu Vakei Avaseinu. This is why the Chazan says Avakenu Vakei Avaseinu by Mincha on a Tainis Tzibur. But the Kohenim never actually duchen, even in places where the Minig is to duchen by each tefillah. However, Tosfos says, first of all, we could be talking about over here according to the Stam Mishnah over there, who says that you do, or the Gemara says that there's a difference if on Mincha if on the Tainis Tzibur they daven Mincha very close to Shkia, which is not usually on other days. They daven, in those days at least, they daven Mincha much earlier in the day, then therefore it's not going to be confused with Mincha of a regular day, and therefore the Kohenim could legitimately duchen. Anyway, so by duchening by mincha of a tainis, if there is, my amri, what psukim do you say then? Again, it's a new duchening that you don't have other times. So Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, you say the following psukim from Yirmiyah. This is the psukim I'm describing over there. There was al divrei habatzores, there was a drought, and then Yirmiyah and the people are davening for Hashem to help them. So they say the psukim, im avinenu onu vanu, even if our averus are speaking up against us, Hashem asei l'man shmecha, Hashem act for your sake. And you continue with the next pasuk, Mikve Yisrael, the hope of Yisrael, Moshiach Be'ez Tzara, the one who helps the Jewish people in times of trouble, Lama Siyak Ger Ba'aretz Vemer, why should you be like a stranger in the land, as if like Chas V'Shalom, you don't have the ability to help? And you continue with the next pasuk, Lama Siyak Ish Nidham, why should you be like a person, why should you act Hashem like a person who's stunned, like a person who's like shocked and he doesn't know what to do, Kigibur La Yuchal Shiyav Vemer, like a mighty man who's unable to save? And it sounds like asking Hashem to save us. So now, Tosfos pointed out, up until now, the psukim that we quoted until now are that we show our appreciation for the brachas, the ones that we say every day, Baruch Hashem Malachav, the ones that we say by Musaf of Shabbos, Shira Malasin, Baruch Hashem. This isn't anything like that. On the other hand, but here, why are they fasting? It's because of a tzara, so therefore it's a time for davening for Rachmanus, so therefore it's an appropriate time to be saying such psukim, even though you would think it doesn't belong during Birkas Koyanim, but it does because of the tzara. Next, Ne'ila Diyem Kippuri Mai Omar, what do they say when they're duchening by Ne'ila of Yom Kippur? Tosfos actually wonders that sometimes on other Taniyas Tzibur they would also daven Ne'ila. Why is the Gemara mentioning over here specifically Ne'ila of Yom Kippur? In fact, the Ritva says that it does mean other fasts as well, but the difference is Yom Kippur, it's always a definitive thing that you're going to say Ne'ilah, whereas other Taniyas Tzibur not necessarily. And the fact is, nowadays, we only do it on Yom Kippur. Anyway, so what do you say then? Again, it's a new duchening that you don't have any other times. So you need new psukim. So Omar Mazutra, Va'amilav Masnisa, so the Mazutra says, or others say, it says in a Braisa, you say the psukim from Tillim. Hine chichen yivorach gover yirei Hashem. This is how a person who fears Hashem should be blessed. Yivorach, these are three psukim again back to back. Yivorach Hashem etzion yirei b'tov yirshalayim kili mechayecha. Hashem should bless you from Tzion, and you'll see the good of Yerushalayim all the days of your life. And the third pasuk, Evanim Lavanecha, you'll see that your children will have children. Shalom on Yisrael, peace on Yisrael. So therefore, those also correspond to the three psukim of Birkas Koyanim. Now, the next question is, Heichan Omran, at what point are you saying these psukim? All these various groups of psukim that we're saying, where in Birkas Koyanim do you say them? Rabbi Yosef Amar Ben Kol Bracha Bracha. So Rabbi Yosef says, between each pasuk of the brachas. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yosef, you're saying after Yivarach Hashem Yishmeracha, you're saying the first pasuk, after Yor Hashem Panav Elecha V'Chonecha, the second pasuk, and after Yisrael Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yasam Lo HaShalem, the third one. Rav Shesha Samavaz Toras Hashem, Rav Shesha says you say them when Hashem's name is mentioned in the bracha. So when the Kohenim get to the Hashem of Yivarach Hashem Yishmeracha, then you answer with one of these psukim, and when you get to the Hashem of Yor Hashem Panav Elecha, and so on. And then wouldn't be considered a hefsek. However, Pligi Bara Mori Vrav Zvid. Now, Rav Mori and Rav Zvid argue further about how you say the psukim. Chad of a psukka lakova psukka. One says that it means one posit corresponding to one posit. So again, the Kohenim say the posit Yivarachba, and you say the first posit, and so forth. V'chadam akol psukka, omululukulu, the other one between the Mori and Rav Zvid, says that you say all three psukim by all three of them. So according to him, after Yivarachba, or after Hashem's name of Yivarachba, whatever, you would say all three psukim, and then you would repeat the same three psukim after Yor Hashem Ponav, and again the same three psukim after Yusa Hashem Ponav Elah. Now, do you in fact say these psukim? So the Pchiva Abba says, anybody who says those outside the Beis Mikdash is making a mistake. They're only meant to be said in the Beis Mikdash in honor of the fact that the Shem HaMefodesh is being used there in Duchni. In fact, Rav Chanina bar Papa says, really, you should know, in the Beis Mikdash, you also shouldn't be saying it. Since when, how could you have a slave who was given a bracha and he doesn't listen and instead he's saying something of his own? So why should he be saying psukim? With that said, though, the Meiri understands Rav Chanina bar Papa to be saying that he's saying, I agree that in principle, really, you shouldn't be saying them in the Beis Mikdash. But the fact is, because you have to have covered for the Shem HaMefodesh over there, therefore in the Beis Mikdash, it's appropriate to say them, but I agree with Rav Chiya Abba that you shouldn't be saying them outside the Beis Mikdash. On the other hand, Omer of Acha Bachanina tated the Bevulin Nami Meboilim Amrinu. On the other hand, Rav Acha Bachanina says you realize that even outside the Beis Mikdash you're supposed to be saying such a tzukim. Klum yesh eved shemavorchen oisei vein mazbe ponim. Since when do you have an eved that you bench him and he doesn't show that he appreciates it by reciprocating with a bracha to his master? So in fact, Amar Rabba, Mireish Havamin, Allahu. So in fact, Rabba says, I used to say these psukim, Kivin the Chazina Leila of Abba, Demin Akkad, Leila Malahu, I know Nami Lamin Allahu. Once I saw Rab Abba from Akkad did not say them, then I don't say them anymore either, because I realize that what he's saying is correct. Lamaisa, what do we have? So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings the two opinions. There is the opinion, based on what we're saying over here, that Begvulin, certainly outside the Beis Mikdash, maybe even in it, you shouldn't be saying psukim at all, you should just be concentrating on what the Kohenim say. On the other hand, the Ramah explains that the fact is, the Kohenim in most places sing a whole nigun between one word and the next. We have the one that was made by the Mitzvah of the Kapelia and different other Kehilas, they have different other ones. So during that singing, it might be appropriate to say Psukim. And in fact, you can find in Nusach Ashkenaz, Sidurim, and Machzurim, you can find a Pasuk, not the same Psukim that we're saying here in the Gemara, but different Psukim, one for each word. When the Kohenim are singing before Yivarachacha, they say the Pasuk Yivarachacha Hashem Mitzion, and when they say Hashem, when the Kohenim are singing before the name Hashem, then you say Hashem Adinenu Mo'adishim Tabachol Ha'aretz, and by Vishmerecha, they say Shamreni Keoki Chasisivach, so you find such a thing in Nusach Ashkenaz, Sidurim and Machzorim, but our minhag is that none of the above, we stay quiet and we listen to what the Kohenim are saying. With the exception of, now we do say the Rebbeinu Shalom for dreams, while the Kohenim are singing before V'yosim L'chol Shalom, and there's Beis Yosef explains because a bad dream is a very serious thing. See, a person is even allowed to fast for it on Shabbos. So therefore, for that, you can make an exception and say it while the Kohenim are singing. But otherwise, anything else, such as the Pesukim we're saying over here, then not. Okay. Shabbat shalom, everyone.